This new moon in Pisces. Let's talk about this. As you know, we are heading into eclipse season, which is always the most, this is why I call it the Super Bowl. We have the Super Bowl twice a year in football, just once, but in astrology, we have twice. And this new moon in the late degrees, 20 degrees of Pisces, which will occur on Sunday, March 25th at 5 a.m. Eastern Time. This new moon is speaks to endings and completions, and it's a time of rest and contemplation before this big major changes that always come up in eclipse season. Next month, eclipse season will be really interesting. The solar eclipse next month, but in 2 weeks we have our lunar. So I'm going to be talking about all that, and in this video, I'm going to talk about the overall feelings, what we might expect, and a few things to know about this Pisces new moon, and also the houses. What house, where does this fall in your chart? So where you can expect to have these this newness and this and these energies, where they're playing out. If you don't know me, my name's Irliana, and I study Hellenistic and practice Hellenistic astrology, blended with modern archetype. And my practice is star sound astrology. And this is the Star Sound Speaks podcast, episode 299. How do you like that? Oh, hitting 300 soon in the middle of eclipse season. Such excitement. Anyway, okay, so let's move on. If you, oh, by the way, I'm having a sale on at eclipse season. I typically, I want to get everybody empowered because it's major change. When eclipses come along, major endings, major beginnings. So I'm having a sale through this weekend. So it's $25 off. So you can use the code ECLIPSE25, and that'll get you a little discount. All right. So, like I said, the Pisces is the final sign of the zodiac. So that is, out of the 12 signs, it's the final one, the last stop on the train, and it represents this dissolution. Whereas Aries is the first sign of the zodiac and its beginnings, a new life that comes forth. Think of like the seed sprouting from the ground. It becomes a plant or becomes a tree, and then it gets old and then it finally dies. So the Pisces cycle is the end, where things that are physical dissolve, they dissolve. So it represents transcendence and the mystical, invisible realms. So with this new moon in Pisces, it's very dreamy, it's ideal. This is the feminine water home of Jupiter. Pisces, the traditional ruler of Pisces is Jupiter. So feminine Earth, listen to me. Oh. Mercury and Pisces, when I'm speaking this. Feminine water sign, Pisces. This can speak to wonderful dream states, visioning, prophetic visions received, maybe, insights, dreams that I just had an amazing one this morning. Very prophetic. Won't get into it here, but just know that this is the kind of the context in which we're moving into eclipse season, where we're looking at some very non-linear things here. And that's gonna, and this reflection time, use this time to be restful and reflective and contemplative, because this is what we'll need as we forge ahead next month with the solar eclipse, for sure. In that'll demand that we want to spend that time before the eclipses, that we are prepared fully, and we've really given pause to our life. So especially these next 2 weeks, are really about that, giving pause and really going in deeply. I would say too, this new there's a stellium in Pisces, and what we're looking at is commitment as well. So there's beauty and idealism and love and this precious devotion to the divine, which is all Piscean characteristics. But there's also, with Saturn in the mix, Saturn is part of this new moon, this whole new moon scenario. And I will show you here. Here's our Saturn. Here it is for Washington, D.C., the eclipses. You can see here there is a stellium, four planets in the sign of Pisces. We've got not just the sun and the moon, but who's along for the ride? Well, Neptune in its home sign of Pisces, where Neptune's the modern ruler of Pisces, and you got Saturn too. So you got this new moon is enclosed between Saturn and Neptune. So this realm of achievement and high achievement and discipline and focus on the mystical realm, and then Neptune, the dreamy part. So there's stern Saturn that wants us to achieve, that wants discipline and focus and to make the imagined world real. And then there's Neptune, which is, full of inspiration. This is a great time to be poetry, writing poetry or writing or music or dance and everything in anything of beauty. So, but Saturn is like, yeah, let's make it real. Let's ground that. It can be very airy fairy castles in the sky. Well, let's bring that castle and let's Saturn architecture. Let's build that castle. Let's build that beautiful dream. So where this new moon is occurring in your chart is the area of your life where you'll have this impetus to create something that's lasting, to make it like a real serious commitment to it. And you'll see that energy is going to play out next month, because when we have the well, we have this this month actually. First we have our lunar eclipse March 25th, and then we have our total solar eclipse April 8th. So when we will have both the rulers of the eclipses, Mars and Venus, Mars North Node, Venus South Node. They will both be, as of the next day after this new moon, Venus, ruler of the South Node, is going to go into Pisces. And then Mars will catch up there for the solar eclipse. So both of those rulers will be in Pisces when these eclipses occur, the lunar and the solar. So that's really important. That really speaks to a dissolution of form, all the conditioned responses that we've been so, like maybe even blind to, like we can't even see them, they become seen. The way in which we've conditioned our lives and our behaviors and our goals with Mars, our direction in life, and Venus, who we love and how we love and how we connect with the world. So all of these things, all of the beliefs that we had that we might have deluded ourselves with are really coming up to be seen really powerfully. But I would say this new moon, these precious couple of weeks before that eclipse is when we already feel the energy picking up, but it is a good time to it's this one little pause, before we go into the tumult of the eclipse season. It's kind of like this is the part of the Colorado River and your whitewater raft where it's just floating before the energy and the tide starts to pick up and kind of get a little bumpy, and then you go through those last six rapids and you have to hang on, and that's kind of like the chaotic kind of unforeseen kind of energy of eclipse season. But right now, just focus on right now. Right now, we can just enjoy this sweetness and the calm and the contemplative energy that the pipe of a new moon in Pisces that it can bring. So, what else do I want to say? With Saturn in the mix, like I said, Saturn wants commitment. So we're looking at, what is it that, what is our ideal life and what would our ideal life look like, and what would it take to commit to that? Pisces is also not just about mystical contemplation, but and rest and reflection. Great, yes, but there's also sacrifice. It's like, what are we sacrificing? What do we have to give up in order to achieve these things? And what we have to, well, for one thing, we have to give up the fantasy world or having on rose-colored glasses, thinking that, this is, if we've been deluding ourselves, this is the chance to really catch that and really look openly and honestly. Saturn wants us to be authentic, Saturn in Pisces, like be open and authentic about what it's really going to take to live an ideal life, the life of your dreams, literally. And not to be like dreams, like, oh, la, 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 la. Like Saturn's like, no, let's bring it home. Okay, so Three things to know. One is that I want to say, just to say that this new moon is actually going to be a super moon. We had one last month. This is another super moon. And then this solar eclipse will also be a super moon. That's why it's like a really intense season we're heading into. What is a super moon? It used to be called perigee moon, but that's just an old-fashioned term, right? No, everything has got to be superfoods, and there's a you got your maca and your chlorella, and then, now we have super moons. So that is supercharged. The sun and the earth is and the moon are at its closest approach. The moon is at its closest approach to the earth in a perigee or supermoon. So what would that mean? Well, the message is even more powerful. It's a more heightened sense of things. This Pisces being a water sign and the moon, right? It rules the water in our bodies. It's life on earth, how we experience this, our sense of security, our sense of belonging. And so with the moon as a super moon, new moon, of course, on a physical level, we see it. If you're a sailor, you know the tides are always highest, and the high tide is highest and low tide is lowest when we have a super moon. So it's a more exaggerated experience. They call it spring tide, not meaning spring like the season of the year, just spring kind of thing, jumping forward. High tide is a spring tide. Neap tide is low tide. So this is creating, and think about the tides and the comings and goings of fortune in our life, the ever-shifting landscape of our daily lives represented by the moon, right? So there's a sense of is exaggerated kind of sense of ending, like is something ending? Yeah, it's really ending, you know, and that's a good thing. So yes, a particularly strong inclination to be pulled inward, mystical contemplation, you know, going to an ashram for a weekend, that would be super. Going to the woods, going to a little cabin in the woods if you can, or just finding some quiet time if you can't get away, even just going to a park and just spending some time like that, taking a salt bath. Hey, you know, Pisces, man, ocean, water, create your own ocean in your bathroom. Put that salt in there. Get that Himalayan salt or the Dead Sea salt or something and Epsom salt. So, you know, again, to really be in this contemplation and to give yourself that a really nurturing environment in which to do that. The second thing is next day, the Venus starts out with the in the late like 28 degrees Aquarius. It starts out in that, but then goes into the next day. Venus moves into Pisces, where she is exalted. So an exalted Pisces, that's, you know, Venus loves to be in Pisces. It's sweet. It's ethereal. It's everything that Venus loves. So Venus in Pisces, she does very well in Pisces. What's nice about this new moon is that when she does that, she comes into a mutual reception. It's called mutual reception with Jupiter. So we have the two benefics, Venus and Jupiter, and in Pisces, they both rule. So Jupiter is the domicile ruler. He's, you know, he is in charge, right? It's like the sun and the moon starting out this new moon cycle. They're staying in Jupiter's Airbnb. And then Venus is like the helper. Venus, the exaltation ruler is Venus. So Venus and Jupiter connected, beautifully connected, is it lends wonderful support. So what kind of support would this be in this kind of lull before the big eclipse season starts? Well, when you look at Jupiter, Jupiter's in the sign of Taurus. So it's an earth sign. It's fixed earth. Jupiter, higher wisdom, intelligence. You know, the wise King Solomon is always a favorite, you know, go-to of mine. So knowing and leaning into intelligence, that's Taurus, practical, grounded, resilient, is, you know, real, stable intelligence, right? And it's earth, it's feminine earth, nature. So, the idea here from the universe is saying, look, take this time, go in nature. This is ground your feet, like take your shoes and socks off and ground, even if it's cold weather, just do it anyway. Get Pat, be Wim Hof, man. Channel your inner Wim Hof. We're not asking you to hike Everest in your hiking shorts like he did. We're just saying take your socks off for 1 minute and then see if you can do it again the next day, a little longer. But it will interrupt us and put us more present in our bodies for sure. And Uranus getting, Jupiter's getting pretty close with Uranus. So it's like saying, okay, let's be here now. Nothing like being here now to get your socks and shoes off when mornings are cold in the northern hemisphere. We're just ending in winter, and that could be a lot of snow on the ground for some people, but I don't know. Just have fun with it. Connecting with nature and intelligence, nature's intelligence. There's a great book that I just happened to mention the other day to one of my clients, and it's called The Secret Life of Plants. And so that would be a great book to read, for this very Piscean, dreamy, visionary new moon, especially with the ruler Jupiter in Taurus, The Secret Life of Plants, plant kingdoms, communing with plants. These are all wonderful practices that we can do that and get some insights, right? That will help us. Like the plants want to talk to us, the little fairies, those non-visible realms. It was just so Piscean, right? The little fairies and the fae and mermaids, and it's Pisces, of course. We have to talk to the mermaids, the mermen, the mer people. This is where we get to shine, right? And they're like, oh great, here the lines are open, operators are standing by. So if you don't want to talk to a plant, talk to a mermaid. I don't know, whatever. Make your pick. Anyway, so and the other thing I want to say before we get into the houses is Mars is the bound ruler, which means that this new moon is playing by the rules of Mars. So he might be it's we might be in Jupiter's domain with Jupiter's temple, right? But the actual rule giver is Mars. Well, Mars is just came out of a square, very just within hours of this new moon. It comes out of a square with Uranus. It's been a very tough week. Mars Uranus squares, sometimes they bring accidents because we're impulsive. We want to move. We want to move, 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 move. Mars in Aquarius is like, I want to improve. I want to get better. I want to, and it can get a little crazy. And Aquarius is the air sign. You can get in your head, about improving and being fixated, right? It's fixed air. Well, the Uranus square is like, hey, you know what? Uranus is like, oh, I want innovation too. After all, I'm Uranus. But we have to be patient, right? In the sign of Taurus, it's all these years since 2018, it's teaching us, yes, you can innovate, yes, you can improve, but you want to be just take it at a slower pace and consider the earth and just feel into these things. Be here now, not in your head, right? So that's a piece of this pie, is that we're playing by those rules. I would say, we're learning with that square with Uranus is like we're learning to, innovate and have breakthroughs. And the breakthrough is about being here now and embodying the change, be the change. I would say, feel the change that you wish to see in the world. I would think too, even with Saturn in the mix, it's like, hey, discipline yourself to slow down. Saturn doesn't do things in a rush, as we know. It takes 30 years to go around the zodiac. You cannot rush that guy. But Saturn is like, stop, smell the flowers. It's Pisces time. Let's feel and see and smell and experience beauty, flowers, poetry, dance, all this beauty is around us, and it wants this for us. I just heard. As I'm saying this, the birds are with me. Thank you. I hear this beautiful, like, nightingale or just something. Something's outside my window chirping. So, yes, you see, we are all connected. I hear you, and I know you hear me. You're beautiful. I love your voice. Anyway, Let's finish this video so you can go be in your contemplative place. Houses, where is this new moon going to happen? And what is it calling you to do? Well, let's start with I want you to consider listening not just for your sun sign, but listen for your rising sign because it's more specific. It's like where this new moon actually shows up in your chart. So, Pisces rising, this will be in your first house, which is your physical body, your character, your personality, your appearance. So there's some new ideal. What is the ideal appearance, and how can you make that real with Saturn there? What can we commit to regarding our appearance? And that will be lasting. So Saturn's in it for the long haul. So what kind of commitment can we make that will help us realize our ideal appearance? Aries, this will be in your 12th house. So the 12th house is about our mental health, and it's also the house of the mystic. It's the contemplative. So this is like would indicate maybe perhaps a serious spiritual or mystical journey or commitment to dream time, to contemplation, meditation, being away from the world. This is what the magic of this particular new moon for you, Aries rising. For Taurus rising, it's going to be in your 11th house of friends, colleagues, groups, group organizations. So perhaps, who are my ideal friends and what can I reflect on there in terms of what kind of commitments what kind of group do I want to commit to, for the long haul? This is something that we're going to be, again, what are the beliefs I have around friends that are just false or where I'm sabotaging myself. So that's the area that will be coming up for you. And again, remember, we're going to be looking at these themes again when the eclipses happen. Okay, Gemini risings, it's going to be in your 10th house. So career and goals, where you're going to have the new beginnings and new structures for your ideal career and goals for your career. Cancer, ninth house, Cancer risings. This is in your ninth house, which is foreign travel, higher education study, maybe spiritual or occult study, traveling long distance, foreign cultures. So the new moon is bringing new opportunities in that area. Leo risings. This is your eighth house of shared resources, whether it's investors' money, investment capital, real estate, annuities or insurance, inheritances, trusts, wills, trust funds, things of this nature. Also, the debts that we owe others and/or the debts that others owe us. So there is this, that is the area that the new moon is calling us. It's a new beginning in these matters. In these Virgo risings, this is going to be in your seventh house. I'm trying really hard not to forget. Last time I forgot Sag rising. Thank you, Rayanne. You helped me realize. I didn't even realize it. What would I do without you guys? Mwah. Anyway, Virgo risings is the seventh house. I actually type my notes in like giant letters. It's like when you're over 40, everything. The font gets bigger and bigger, even with glasses. Anyway, so hopefully I won't forget anybody's. All right, so Virgo, seventh house. This is where you Virgo risings. You're gonna see this is where you get to commit to a long-term relationship or end one if it's not been working for you. This is where we want to contemplate what kind of long-term goals do we want to realize? What is the ideal relationship? Whether it's a business relationship, a partner, and/or a love, a marriage partner, a long-term committed relationship partner. Okay, Libra risings. This is going to be in your sixth house, which rules your health, fitness. Where hopefully we don't we have to be take a serious account of our health and what are we committing to? What kind of long-term plans for ideal health can we commit to? Same thing for the workplace. It also rules one's day job or workplace and employees, if you have them or you are an employee. So these are the areas that, will be coming up for a new start. Scorpio rising, fifth house, which is children, dating, love, sex, relationships, short-term dating relationships, right? Whereas seventh house is the long-term one. The short-term, creative projects, children of the mind, kids in general, fertility, pregnancy. This is all what is the ideal situation that you want to create for and contemplate for this area of your life. Okay, then we go to Sag. We've got Sag rising. This is going to be in your fourth house of home and family. So the very foundations of your life and your family, your genealogy, your family history. Maybe, looking at maybe there's some forgiveness that needs to be done. With all those planets in Pisces, we're really having to be really forgiving of self, others. Of not having been a victim or creating victim consciousness and families. Oh goodness, right? There's a lot of rich opportunity here for you guys, your Sag risings with your family. Healing. Third house for Cap risings. So if you're Capricorn rising, the third house rules cousins, siblings, neighbors, in-laws, people who are extended family, as well as neighbors. Did I say neighbors? Oh, sorry. And it's also communications, how we network and connect via writing, any kind of communication, spoken, learning as well, school, elementary school, earlier levels of school, learning, writing, education. So this is where the new beginning is going to occur for you. And the last one is second house, Aquarius rising. This is going to be in your second house, which is income, what you spend, the things that are important to you, the things and ideas. What mystical ideas, can you commit to that would, increase your bottom line? And I would say, I don't want to sound that's kind of crass. Take that back. Second house Pisces, what is my ideal financial situation? Like I'm not going to kid myself anymore, and I'm going to make this, it can be real, it can be done, it can be achieved, and we don't have to feel like a victim. We don't have to feel like it's an impossible dream. We can make with Saturn there, it's like, no, let's make this real, and we can do that. So, all right, that's it for today. I hope you've enjoyed this. I love hearing from all of you. So please leave your comment below. Let me know what are you up to for this new moon as we get ready for our wild and woolly yeehaw, like riding a bucking bronco eclipse season. And like, share, subscribe, always appreciated. So, all right, everybody, much love to you all, and we'll see you soon. This is Irliana Samsara, Star Sound Speaks, starsoundastrology.com. Namaste.